The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for joining us today.
Good morning. Good morning. It's morning right now when we're recording, and we are breaking ground, okay? We are doing something that no one in the podcasting world has done before. Not really, but maybe not the wedding podcasting world. I don't know. You tell us.
Not our world. Not our little world.
Not our podcasting world. We are doing something so cutting edge and crazy right now because we have another wedding planning podcaster on the show, Mrs. Alicia McCormick from the Bride Chilla podcast. What up?
Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, we are breaking ground. You're right. I don't even care if 50 other people have done this. I'm just going to say we did it the first time.
Yes, we did it the 51st time.
We're crazy. We're crazy. You know, I was somewhat running my children to summer camp this morning because I'm like, come on, get out. Let's go. I got to get back. I got to record. And my 10-year-old son is like, what are you recording, Mom? Who are you talking to? And I'm like, oh, well, you know the Bride Chilla podcast? Because he listens to podcasts.
Right.
And he's researched for me.
Great.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, we're recording with her. And he's like, what? Isn't she your competition? And I'm like, I don't know, I guess, but like we're collaborating. We don't think like that, Santi. And he's like, oh wow, I can't wait to listen. And I'm like, well, we're probably gonna cuss a lot, so he gets so mad when we cuss.
I mean, if that kid listens to my show, God bless him, because I don't hold back with the anything.
All the F-bombs you drop, lady. I've heard you. Well, we do too. But, you know, I had this idea, and I just sent Alicia a message on Instagram thinking, I wonder if she'll be into it. And she's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, of course.
Bride Chilla is like the premier wedding podcast. Like, if you're going to look it up, which most of our listeners probably have,
please do. That's why we're doing
this.
Yes,
number one across the board, over 300 episodes. You're like a tenured professor, Alicia. no one can fire you now.
When I had this idea and I looked to see if there were any wedding planning podcasts, I'm like, well, this one, by far of all of them, I'm like, this is the one. This is the good one. Yours is the good one.
Oh, well, that's so kind. Of course, I was going to say, that's so kind of you. And I agree, yours is very good. And I think, you know, since the beginning, I've always welcomed, as soon as there's a new voice in this space, I'm like, come aboard, the more the merrier. Because I actually think there are so many, I mean, you guys obviously bring so much of your actual wedding planning experience, your pros, this is what you do. And I think that's a great angle to bring to the medium. And I just love podcasting. And so many people, and I think I'm sure you experience this, so many people are like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. And they go, oh, fucking hell, it's hard work. And you see it's them all lot. Drop off. So congratulations to all of us just for cracking on and keeping going and getting a rhythm and getting it going. Because I think a lot of people underestimate just how much work and commitment takes to actually produce it.
Yes, sister.
And on that note, we have each other to talk to and go back and forth with. And I, when Michelle first got this cockamamie idea to do a podcast at all, it was part of a much bigger plan for like a million things we were going to do. And, you know, the branding and the blogging and everything. And then it like got distilled down to a podcast. But I thought, I can't just sit and talk to myself, basically. Like, so you had to know that was in your skill set. You had to be like, I'm a person who can talk for an hour with nobody else in the room.
Well, yeah, look, I come from a stand-up comedy background, so that's what I did and do. Okay. So I think I felt confident in just me being able to shit on and on and on and hopefully say something of worth within that time frame. But, yeah. You know, look, I have episodes where I just talk on my own and they go pretty well. People seem to like it. But then I really try and bring in experts. And like Wigan, I'm going to chat to you on an episode and I can't wait to have a, you know, a conversation about what you guys do, you gals do in the day and gal. But yeah, it's challenging. But then also I think once you get in the rhythm and when I presented on television in Australia for 5 or 6 years, and one of the best bits of advice I was ever given was when you look at the camera, pretend you're talking to your best friend. This is not an original piece of advice, but it really resonates with me. And I will sit and I will look at my little microphone, whatever the fuck it's called, you know, microphone spit thing. I'm a professional, obviously. And chat to it like I'm chatting to my mates. And I think that's just what you do. You just try and connect. And I think all my listeners, we call them chillers. They're bride chillers and groom chillers. And I just think about who's listening and try and have a chat to them. Like we're sharing a little cocktail or something.
Because you know you have many, many, many listeners now. But when you first started, it was like, who am I talking to? Who are these people listening to me? Where do they live? What do they want from me? I mean, you have to kind of find your audience, and you've done more than that. You've created like a tribe
of
people that want to share their experiences with each other.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is really incredible. Awesome.
Yeah, but purely unintentionally. I just want to say that as much as it sounds like it's been planned, I sort of fell into it. And, you know, now I'm sitting in my booth that Rich, my husband, and I built in a cupboard in our house. So it's a lovely, you know, padded walled booth. But originally,
I love that.
It's a sexy booth. It's hot as hell. But we, you know, originally I had an ironing board and a Blue Yeti microphone, which is like the most basic microphone you can buy on Amazon. And I just set up and thought, I'll just give it a red hot go. And if someone listens, they'll listen. So, you know, it's evolved a lot. And I'm grateful you're calling it a movement, because I think it's a bit of a movement. And it's exciting, and it feels really empowering to see other people listen and then it evolving with people contributing with each episode that I produce and more people getting on board. It's really thrilling and lovely to see people go with it and make it their own.
You came up with the name, obviously, before you started, and you have a tone, and it like overreaching is like, stop freaking out about crazy shit. Everybody stay focused, stay grounded. It's just a wedding. Like, that's kind of the overall tone.
Is that your message? Do you think?
I think underlying, and I was talking to a friend about this the other day, about saying, you know, I'm not a wedding person. I'm just a chick that got hitched and went, actually, this is a lot more stressful and ridiculous than it should be. We're planning a party. And I'm also a feminist. I'm pretty left wing. I like to swear. I'm very entrepreneurial, I'm driven, and I'm passionate. And that all goes into the bride chiller ethos. But really, I don't talk about the aesthetics of wedding planning. So many other people are much better of that than I am. I'll get guests on to talk about it. But really, my overriding message is about empowerment, and it's about making choices that suit you and your partner. And that also, to me, is about taking that into your marriage and your life on your own. And the best emails and voice messages I've received from listeners have been saying, I'm going to take this ethos and run with it. This is going to help change my everyday life by finding my voice a little bit more and being able to say, fuck this, I don't want this. Or, you know, I'm sick of doing what you're saying. Like, you know, people come along with bits of advice and you hear that my pregnant friends are always sort of saying, oh my God, every Ned and Fred comes along and thinks they can tell me what being pregnant's like. You know, I've never been pregnant, but I think it's the same idea. People just feel that they need to be telling us what to do all the time. And by this sort of time, it's be able to go, listen, this is a day that's really important to me. Shut the fuck up and let me do what I want.
Why do you feel
politely?
Like, what was it about that message that you were putting out there that you like people? I mean, women, let's say mostly brides, but brides and grooms and, you know, however people identify, like have embraced this as almost like, oh, thank God somebody is putting this out there as a thing I can cling to. And you say they're taking it like further into their life, which is so amazing. But
yeah,
why do you think people were like attracted to that in the first place? Like the feedback you were getting and the way people have embraced this like bridezilla mentality.
I think it's just like being someone being given permission to do sort of what they want to do. The wedding, like when you strip it all back, the wedding industry is completely based on traditions. And for me, traditions are things that were created in the yesteryear, mostly, that had meaning mm-hmm. 500 years ago. You look back at, you know, we carry bouquets because people used to stink, you know, they used to reek. Yeah. And they carried bouquets. So they go, oh, I don't want to make my husband puke at the altar, so I'll cover it with some flowers. So you go, okay, carrying bouquets, I haven't got a problem with carrying bouquets, I think they're beautiful. But I think it all starts with tradition and this idea that we feel obliged to follow all these rules. And for me, the only rule that you really need is that you found someone you love and you dig and you put up with their shit and they put up with your shit and you're weird and they're weird.
Amen.
And then you stand there, whether it be in front of 100 people or 2 people, and you get someone to potentially make it legal or have a ceremony of some sort. And that to me is a wedding. And mm-hmm. I think people have jumped onto this train because all I say is that's all you need. And all the other stuff are extras, and they can be lovely extras, yes. but they can be very expensive extras. And I think people get stuck on the keeping up with the Joneses side as well, where they're like, oh, she had all this shit at the wedding, so I have to have it because it's mm-hmm. not going to be a wedding without it. And you're like, listen, don't worry about Nancy had, and her parents might be rich and they want to just shovel all their money into that. Great. But you do whatever you want to do.
Right.
And run with it.
So it was that stripped down version that allowed people to be like, okay, that's simple. I can wrap my brain around that. And then everything yeah. else is extra. Everything else is like the icing.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
I think
to speak.
It's very millennial as well, without going all sort of cliche, but I really think it's we're going into this generation where they aren't that sort of superstitious and keen to follow traditions like maybe our parents were. And also we're independent couples who are probably making our own coin, and it's not necessarily being driven by our parents' generation, by them going, hey, I've given you all this money, do exactly what I say. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of nice to be able to speak, I say to that generation, because I'm older, not that old, but older. So
me too.
It's nice. Me too. It's nice. I've got to get my roots done, so that's how old I am.
Oh my God, I'm getting mine done on Friday. I cannot
well
wait.
Well done.
So Alicia, so this is basically how you started the podcast. You got married. What year did you get married?
2012. And we had a very small, as in we had 50 people, did it all ourselves, worked way too hard, should have hired a wedding planner, didn't, but have learnt the lesson. Now I'm like preaching the coordinator, wedding planner. You guys are my heroes. Yeah. You know, we did it.
Where did you get married?
We got married in Melbourne, in Australia, which is where we're living. In this beautiful, my husband's an architect, so we actually hired an Australian architectural icon, this beautiful house called the Boyd Baker House. It's sexy. But it's a private house that you can basically set up and do whatever you want with. So we just sort of, I say gutted it, that sounds terrible. We just moved all the furniture and made it our own. But it was a really beautiful space. Yeah, it was cool.
And so during the process is when all of this kind of eye-opening moments happened that you're like, what the fuck? This is crazy, right?
Yeah. I found it. I sort of found it like, I mean, we really went our own way. And we were a bit of, you know, I will absolutely say we were a wedding planning team. Rich did just as much work as I did.
Good.
And that was great. And that's another thing I really talk about a lot is that mm-hmm. It's this idea that some people are like, yeah, but I've had a dream since I was 12 and I want it to be my way. And you're like, well, listen, sister, this is not a great foundation for the rest of your life.
Distribution of labor, you got to start that so you don't set a precedent for the rest of your life that you are in charge of all domestic things.
And distribution of dreams. It's like, I think it's sort of bullshit that it should be the women, you know, like this is a very Australian way to put it, but they're like, oh, it's the ladies' grand final day. And you're like, no, it's not. It's a day that you're celebrating together. It's not the Super Bowl of, you know, chicks. It's a day that should be celebrated as duo.
I feel like I know Rich a little bit because you have him on your Instagram, oh, on your stories all the time.
Poor
it's
guy.
So funny. He's so good. He's such a good, how do you say it? He's a good, he goes
straight,
along. He's like,
straight
okay,
man
well,
to my idiot.
Her. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he's like, all right, Alicia, that's fine. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
He's very, he's the reluctant contributor to my life. Like, in the sense he's obviously digs me, but he's like, oh, you're putting this fucking camera in my face again. Here we go. And I'm always like, let's do another podcast. Let's do this. And he's just like, look, just back off, back off.
Now, you are doing another podcast. I saw Hitched. Tell me about that, because oh, is this a collaboration with someone?
Yeah. So Hitched
is... What is it?
In Australia, there's this fantastic women's podcast network called Mamma Mia, and they produce really great podcasts. And you don't have to be an Aussie to listen to them. Worldwide, they've got a lot of listeners. Mm-hmm. And they approached me last year and said, we'd like to do a 10-part, super-fast planning, wedding planning podcast, like Bride Chiller on speed. So that's my words, not theirs, obviously. So we sort of came up with a plan to do, you know, to really look at condensing almost all the stuff, that the basic things that I talk about in Bride Chiller, and just putting it into a 10-part series. So it's highly produced. So when you listen to it, it's a bit like listening to something from NPR. You know, there's a lot of beautiful music and sound effects, whereas I just like talk and put it out there. That's really good advertising for myself. But they've done a lot of work making it sound really sexy and lovely, and
that's
making
so
me
cool.
Sound better than I am. Yeah, it's great. So we're up to episodes 5 or 6 now, and it's out once a week, and it's been great. It's been really great. And they're just like, to work with them, you know, they're a digital, women's digital media sort of like empire in Australia.
Yeah.
And I was very privileged to work with them. It was great.
That's awesome. That must be fun to do, like just to see how they do things.
Yeah. Yeah. And
professionally.
I felt not the pressure, they didn't put pressure on me, but I just felt pressure to go, oh, this is like, well and proper. This is, you know, this is a proper podcast network.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm just like, sit in my room and put it together, and people presumably listen every week.
Yeah.
Tell us about your books, because I was wondering if with a condensed like 10 episode series, did you look to your book to kind of get that curriculum for the podcast?
I so did. That was very well researched. Yes, I did. I wrote 2 books. I started out writing 1 book called The Bride Chiller Survival Guide. And then members of the Bride Chiller community said, we want something to write in. Can you write a planner? And I was like, yeah, I'll write a planner. And then the planner took me nearly as long to write, oh my good Lord, as the actual physical planning, you know, the long form book. So, the survival guide has been a very big inspiration for Hitched, looking at just the key points to what you've got to hit to get things done. Just get it done.
Yeah. That's awesome. We've toyed with writing a book, but we're both so like, that just overwhelms me just thinking about it.
Oh, you should do it. It's great. I think the medium of self-publishing is amazing. I mean, you know, we took it further and got them physically published. We got a printer in China, and that nearly sent me to an early grave. But actually learning the process has been really fantastic, and bugger real publishers. I'm a real publisher. I don't need them.
Oh,
fuck
so you,
Penguin.
You just did it all, DIY'd it. You did it yourself.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe someday when we're ready, I'll hit you up and you can tell me how to do it.
Sure.
I'm
always up for a self-publishing chat. It's an evolution.
Alicia, I was going to say, we've had 2 of the same authors on our podcast that you've had on yours. You had them, I believe you had them both before we had them, the Feminist Bride and then Laura Wilcox and her adventures.
Oh.
And both of
two
them
great people
told us how hard, not writing the book, but how hard the like self-promotion process was.
Yeah.
And that they had to hustle so much to actually get the book like in stores and sold, and that they weren't really expecting that. So it's actually really refreshing to hear you had a great experience, because they like put us off of it.
But she's already got an audience. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, they just wrote a book nobody knew about. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's the one difference there, right?
I suppose for me, you are so right, Michelle. I've got an audience, and I actually came back to the bride chiller community throughout writing it saying, what do you want? Do you want this or that? And to me, that's the biggest gift of having listenership is that they are really vocal in their wants and needs, and I love them for it. And, you know, I'm writing the Maid Chiller Manual, which is our bridesmaid manual, and I've gone back to them every couple of weeks. I do a new post on the Bride Chiller community going, hey, if you were to get a book, what do you want? Do you want this or do you want this? Or do you want a space for this? So, you know, when you're creating something for an audience and you can go back and ask for feedback, and this is in any sort of business sense, it is such a gift to have that instant feedback of a Facebook group and a really passionate audience who want to help, which is great.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Publishing's challenging. It's really challenging. I would say it's been an eventful, tricky year, and also then taking it into physical publishing was a whole new world of stuff. But I know about it now, so that's great.
Yeah. Something new to add to the list of things I know how to do.
Tick it off.
What year did you start the podcast? How long have you been doing it?
Since 2014 in November. Okay. So I'm coming up to my fourth year, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you release every week also.
Every week. And at one stage I was doing two episodes a week, like a complete lunatic.
What the hell are you talking? We're always so worried we're going to run out of things to talk about, but clearly not. And you never do seasons or take a hiatus. Like, you've been doing it every week.
I haven't missed a week since
ever.
Yeah, I'll do best of. Sometimes I'll repackage things. And, you know, there's a really great sometimes people will bring things up in the community and in our Facebook group, and they'll say, excuse me, you know, actually someone was asking about traditions, and I had a really great episode all about traditions. So I repackaged it, brought back, rehosted it, and just did highlights. But yeah, I'm so far I have yet to run out of things to say. However, I know that one day I will conclude doing the Bride Chiller podcast and I'll move on to something else. But those episodes will always be there. So,
oh yeah, that's what's awesome. They'll always be there.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. What's been your favorites so far? Like, some that stand out that you were like, that was really good, or I learned a lot on this one.
Oh, I learn from everyone. Like, you know, I'm really lucky with the people that I approach to be on the show, and then the people that are pitched. You know, I'm lucky that I'm at the stage now where people come and pitch people to me. I get a lot of people that I just go, you don't listen to my show, I'm not letting you on my show. And then other people you're like, man, you're great. You know, but it's been from people like, I've had psychologists on talking about mental health, and that's really important to me. And I think it's a topic that's not discussed in the industry, yet we are hugely in our society affected, whether it's ourselves, our family or friends, by mental illness and mental health. And we should be talking about it more. It should be like, I've got a headache, I have depression, it shouldn't be any different. So to me, you know, that kicked off. I had a bride chiller come and do an interview with me, and she'd said that she was suffering from depression quite severely throughout her wedding planning, and all her friends and family are like, just cheer up. And you're like, get fucked. This is a clinical problem. And it was great. The feedback from that made me talk about it more and find professionals to talk about the subject with and give help back, or, you know, at least bring it up as a discussion. And to me, that's been the most sort of fulfilling topic to talk about, because I realize that so many people go through it, and so many people get the shitty advice that you should be having a great time, this should be an amazing time, and you're like, listen,
best time of your life.
I'm trying my best. So yeah, but I've had, you know, the Fuck It Buckets, one of my most popular episodes, and that's was a solo episode that I hosted talking about all the things that you could put in the proverbial fuck it bucket. That's all the pressure and obligation and all this stuff that we assume we have to do. And it's really empowering to pretend to put it in this fake bucket, it could be a real bucket, but this bucket, and watch it burn. So, like, crappy DIY projects.
What are some
projects
of the things that you would put in the fuck it bucket?
Well, look, the deal, I think the fuck it bucket's fun because your fuck it bucket could be different to my fuck it bucket. And everyone's fuck it bucket is different. But, you know, it's like, you know, all those DIY projects that you assume you're going to get time to do, and then you're a week out from the wedding and things are half done, and you're like, do I spend each 17-hour day to get this shit done, or I just put it in the fuck it bucket and watch it burn. And
yes.
Things like gift bags. I could give a shit about gift bags. Put them in the fuck it bucket. No one cares. It's not the Oscars.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one wants your crappy little bottles, your shitty flip-flops, and your, what are you, we'd say Panadol in Australia, you know, your paracetamol or your painkiller. No, just go to the supermarket. They can do it themselves.
I can get some Tylenol.
Tylenol. Yep. Oh, buy your own Tylenol. And, you know, just don't worry about all that stuff. And also things like favors for me, unless they're, I don't like favors. Get rid of them.
I mean, either. We don't.
Unless you have like so much money that you can go big with the favors and that it's not a question of like, do I do favors or something else? Because 9 times out of 9, Michelle and I are like, something else. Put it somewhere else.
Exactly.
Let's put that money somewhere else.
And to be honest, you know, I've talked to so many photographers, and when I say favors, and they're usually like sort of, you know, and I'm sure as planners as well, the last people around on the ground when people have left the tables and they're dancing or they're leaving for the end of the night, and they're like, the favors are left there. These, a lot of the times, people have like eaten the favors.
It's so sad.
And it's like, what a waste. Dolphins are going to die.
They're like a mess. They're on the floor. They're like crunched up in a napkin. They're in the middle under the centerpiece that the florist just came and took away. It's a mess.
It's just going to go to landfill, and you're killing the earth. Get a life. Get rid of favors if you so wish. No pressure.
If that's, but if you like them, that's cool too.
Well, you know? I got in trouble because I hate chair covers. I think they're awful. I have got a mug that I sell that it says fuck chair covers. I think they're gross. And I've referred to them as giant chair condoms. And I'm like, let's.
I'm never going to be able to look at one the same.
Just sloppy. Look, and they just, look, I get it. A big plastic chair can be ugly. And I know chair hire can be expensive. I think really for me, the philosophy of fuck chair covers is more about really no one is ever going to leave your wedding and say, it was a great wedding, but those chairs were disgusting. You're like, that's not going to be the thought process of your guests. And if it is, they shouldn't be potentially
crappy
at your wedding.
Guests.
It's just really, you know, I don't know why right now I'm just having this moment where I'm like, fucking chair covers. Who came up with that? Like that the fact that I need to cover these chairs because the chairs are so ugly that this is going to make them look better, or because they're white. I remember back in the day, every wedding I did had chair covers.
Yeah.
Every wedding. And they were usually, you could get them at $3 each. There was this woman named Bonnie and she had this company, and that is all she did. I would hire Bonnie all the time. She'd come around, her and her girls, and they put fucking chair covers on all the chairs, and they'd get it done quick. They were good.
Sure. And Bonnie's
sash,
good.
You get the sash in the different color. And some venues, if you found a venue that had the chair covers, your clients were like, oh, that's awesome. They have the chair covers, you know? Now I don't know the last time I did a wedding with a chair cover.
Well, it's good.
They're all, then it was all shivari chairs. Everybody wants shivari chairs.
What's a shivari chair? What is that?
They look like the bamboo.
And then
they have, there's gold and silver and mahogany and walnut and beechwood, like all the different, with the different color pads. Everybody did shivaris, and then all the venues started buying shivaris because they were expensive. Remember, Christy? They were really expensive.
It is a plus when a venue has them already instead of their like bulky ballroom chairs. But here in the South, shivaris.
Yeah. Christy's in Texas.
They do okay. That, you know, they've stood the test of time.
Yeah.
They photograph well.
They still hold their own.
But they are very small. And here in the South, there's a very large percent of the population that is not small with big booties, and the chairs worry me. I'm like, half that person's body is off that chair.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh. Especially if they've been used for several years. And
yeah, it's like a doll chair. It's like a joke chair. Like Chris Farley's going to sit in it and the legs are just going to fucking split all four of them, and nobody wants that at their wedding. So
nobody wants that at their wedding. Well, it might be kind of funny, like later, years later, to tell that story, but you don't want to be the person that falls.
No, no, that's not a great story. I mean, it's a fun story.
You know, I've had people use the shivari chairs for the hora dance, and, you know, bride or groom almost falling off of them. That's so scary.
Yeah, you don't want that either. They don't want the horror.
The horror of the horror. Okay, chair covers. So funny.
Yeah, that's weird that that's your thing, Alicia. That's yeah. your like.
Ugh. But it's, I get it. Right?
But I'm not. So I got in trouble because someone wrote a review. And look, you shouldn't read reviews, but I do. But there were a few people going, well, I was into the podcast until she started dissing chair covers. And I was like, well, you're not getting the point. I'm not just dissing chair covers. You know, it's the idea that it is just all the extra stuff that you don't necessarily need. That's to yeah. me, for me, you know.
Well, they took it. You can't please everyone. People take you things can't. Personally.
Absolutely. And it's like.
And that's, you know.
That's it.
Humans.
Totally.
It's having that frontal lobe. That's our problem, you know. Differentiates us from the animals. And makes us cranky sometimes. chair covers. Okay. What else did we want to ask Alicia? With just spelled with an E-I.
E-I.
So it makes me want to say Alicia.
Yeah, it's the Australian way.
Alicia.
Alicia.
Alicia. Just really Alicia. Getting to the Alicia.
I like your accent because it's not like the typical Australian accent, I think. And I think because you have some English influence, am I right? Because you live in England.
Yeah, I've lived here for 5 years. So when we go home, I think like the Brits are like, oh, you're so, you listen to you, you're so Antipodean, you're so Australian. And but then I go home and people are like, oh, you think you're so fucking fancy, don't you?
Who do you think
you
are?
You and your bloody posh Australian accents. Like, oh my God, we cannot please anyone. I don't actually think.
Oh, up there on your British pedestal.
Yes, look at you with your rounded vowels. So, I don't know. Look, it's funny because I think I sound exactly the same. But then watching videos, watching my old showreel, and I hear a bit of like, you know, how's it going? That sort of thing. I'm like, whoa. So maybe if anything I've learned in England is to slightly downplay the accent. But the accent works for me. And I think I get away with a lot of stuff because of this accent.
I think you do too for that with that accent. Hey, you used to be a newscast. No, wait. What did you used to do? You were stand-up.
Stand-up comedian. So I used to, in Australia, so in the daytime here, I'm a TV producer. And in Australia, before we left for 10 years, I wrote comedy for panel shows. So I was in the writer's rooms and then I was on air. So I was a TV presenter for a couple of shows in Australia, as well as performing stand-up. Always spinning plates.
I have a question between Australia and and England, and then knowing you have tons of listeners in America and over here and doing appearances and all that, what do you think, like, different couple, you know, let's say brides and grooms, people getting married from different countries could take from each other? Like, the Americans could learn a little bit from the way Australians do open bars, or the British could take a little chill pill from the way Californian brides are, you know, is there any, like...
Good question. Well, I think so. It's
good question. Big whammy.
Oh, I love it. It's a really good question. So a few years ago, I went to my cousin Belinda's wedding. She's an Australian who married a lovely American guy called Luke, and they got married in Hawaii because it was like the middle point between Oz and America. And I emceed the wedding, and that's something we do in Australia. We do not get people that don't know us to host the wedding. Like, I think that's so weird to get a DJ or some stranger to go, hey everyone, it's Marcel and Jane's wedding. I don't fucking know these people, but here they are. And you're like, what are you doing? And so we, in Oz, and actually in Britain as well, you ask a relative or a friend to be the MC to host the wedding. And this has been something I am delighted that so many bride chillers have gone, I'm not going to ask a weird old DJ to host it. I'll ask my brother, or I'll get my best friend to do it. She's funny or he's funny. So that to me is one thing. I hosted their wedding, and I think all the Americans were like, what the fuck? Who is this woman? You know, and
you know, she's going to toast. She's already talked to us once.
She's keep going. She's back again. And I'd intro people. And I love, you know, I hosted a lot like corporate stuff in Australia. I like to keep things to time. I like to run it. But to me, it adds extra level of personalization that you just don't get from a stranger that has met you for 3.5 seconds before the wedding, where you can have a bit of personal stuff. And it's also a great way to give someone else a job that you don't know how to, you know, include them in your wedding. So,
oh yeah, I like that.
That to me is a really good one. I mean, Americans, you love an extra party. We in Australia and Britain, no one does a rehearsal dinner. That's not a thing. And I'm sort of bemused by this extra spending. And like, it's like a whole nother wedding. It's crazy.
Yeah, it can be, yes.
Whoa. So, but then
I
love.
It can also get a little competitive between, yes, like, well, my parents are hosting the wedding, but his parents are hosting the rehearsal. So everyone gets lobster tails or whatever.
Right. Yeah, you're so right. So that was like a, you know, it's been a learning curve for me over the past few years of learning all the different intricacies of who pays for what. Also, you know, the difference between bridal parties paying for things in some countries and not in other countries. There's lots of different etiquette situations going on there. I think that my American listeners take the we have to do this thing, we have to follow this path a little bit more, and the Brits as well. I mean, the Brits love it, they love following tradition.
And
the Aussies are sort of a weird mixture, you know, we love a bit of everything, so we've just picked up, as most of the history of our country, we've just picked up bits from all over the place and run with it. So we're a bit more casual when it comes to it. And if you've watched anything on Netflix, that's, I think there's a Cheapest Weddings, there's a Netflix show that's an Aussie show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should watch it. I mean, it's crazy, but it's...
Is Muriel's Wedding Australia?
Oh, yes!
That's my one wedding movie I have to reference
for Australian. Oh, you're terrible,
Muriel.
You're terrible.
I love her so much.
It's such a great film, and if you haven't watched it and you want to watch a quality wedding-related film that isn't all, like, cheesy, flowery shit, watch Muriel's Wedding. It's amazing.
Yes,
I concur. And it's full of ABBA songs. Who wouldn't love that?
Full of what?
ABBA.
Oh, ABBA songs, yes.
Oh, ABBA. Yes. ABBA.
ABBA.
It's ABBA?
ABBA.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, very good.
This has been so fun. I like this being interviewed. Fun. I don't have to think as much about, I mean, I have to think, but you know, it's nice.
I know. You can just sit back and relax there in your hot little booth. You're hot in there. It's hot. We always talk about how hot it gets in the closet.
And we take our pants off and half the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. So this was fun.
Oh,
and I think we should just try to do this once in a while. It'd be kind of fun, right?
I would love to do this once in a while.
You could be a recurring guest on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, perhaps. Because you make me laugh a lot. I've been laughing a lot.
So we'll have all the links up, including links to your podcast and the network that you mentioned, the Women's Podcast Network out of Australia,
sure.
Right? Hitched is the new podcast. All of the books and the planning guide that you have and the website, we'll include that in all of our show notes. And
thank you.
And then we're so excited to be on
your show.
On your show.
Yeah. We will. I'm delighted to have you as guests on the show and share the wealth of knowledge that you have acquired over your careers. It's going to be fantastic.
We can't wait. We're going to share it. We're going to share it. All right. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Christy is going to throw out all of our social media and all these ways you can get a hold of
us. Yes. And that you can support us so that we can have enough money to fly to Australia to meet Alicia in person.
Well, she's in England.
In England. But when she's in Australia, because I really want to go there.
I want to go to Australia.
And that I want to go to Australia. Okay.
Let's
you,
go.
You can. So that's on Patreon, www.patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And there's some great benefits to being a Patreon member and a patron for us. So if we're helping you, throw us a monthly donation over there and you'll get a newsletter and some behind the scenes stuff and links and bonus episodes. We have a phone number that is used all the time. Michelle can't even keep track of all the voicemails we get.
I can't even. It's like ringing off the hook.
If you get the message that our voicemail box is full, that's normal. It means Michelle has to check them.
Clear and the messages.
Yeah.
That number
Alicia keeps crank calling us. It's awful.
I'm just like, hello. It's Alicia.
Is your refrigerator running?
Well, you better go and catch it.
Alicia, damn it.
Fuck chair covers.
That, That number's 415-723-1625. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I tweeted at you today, Bride Chilla. Yeah,
so you did.
Let me check it. Oh my god!
And our email is.
We should have Alicia do the voicemail on our phone and really throw people off.
For a loop.
You're like, hi, I'm Bride. This is the Bride Chilla chick over here answering the big wedding planning podcast.
It's the big wedding planning Bride Chilla podcast. It's just a big amalgamation.
Yes.
We can share them out.
Yeah.
And our email, the big wedding planning podcast at gmail.com. That is it. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again.
Happy days, guys. I always finish my show with happy days, so now I want to finish yours. Happy days.
Oh, happy days.
Is that like aloha? Do we say it back? Does it mean all the things? Happy days. Okay,
it
cool.
It just means just have a great day. Happy days. And it's a good little thing. We always say it when we cheers in Australia. Happy days.
Oh, we don't drink. Just kidding.
Wow. Okay. Yikes. That was uncomfortable.
All right. Thank you, Alicia. Christy, love you show.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Bye.